Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by Director Thomas Kail of Virginia, actually, and Christopher Jackson, who you know as, you know, George Washington and Hamilton. But we're here talking about the new Hulu documentary, which comes out tomorrow, July 17th, called We Are Freestyle Love Supreme. Hey, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
I guess the only real way, after you've seen this movie, the only way we should start this interview is saying, 1, 2, 3, mic check.
Watch it. You've proven that you have seen it.
Awesome. All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say first impression, man, like how young you guys look in this thing. It's wild. But I guess, you know, in case maybe some of our listeners haven't seen it yet, explain the basic premise of the documentary, you know, what Freestyle Love Supreme is and who the members were.
Chris, you want to knock it out?
Oh, yeah, I'll give you that one. Well, I'm in, you know, the founder, the architect is Tommy Kail. In fact, that's what we referred to him as. And, Anthony Vinciali and Lynn Miranda. And they were quickly joined by myself and Chris Sullivan, Bill Sherman. And now there's a very deep bench of folks that are wonderful members of what we call Freestyle Supreme.
And Freestyle started as a way to take all the things we loved about improvisation and improvisational comedy and merge them with our love of hip-hop and jazz and R&B. And so we tried to create a structure where each of our cast members could basically have the perfect arena to do their thing. You know, one of the elements of freestyle that I was always so happy about is the thing that makes you strange outside of freestyle makes you powerful within it. The thing that we're not always allowed to bring into the audition or bring into the job that we're on is something that's fully embraced. And so it's about a kind of creative expression without filter. It's about who can you be if you are fully trusted and in complete safety on stage, and what kind of truth and fun and entertainment can come out. And for 15 years, we've been practicing that. And Andrew Freed, our friend who is the filmmaker, was around in those very early days, in those first couple years, and was with us in 2005 when we went to Edinburgh and spent a couple days with us, and then has been really along with us for the last 14, 15 years. And this is a sort of visual scrapbook that takes you from the beginning until where we are now.
For sure. And in the movie, Lynn says, you know, life isn't linear. It's all these side journeys. And so, you know, it makes sense because we know you guys from your current work in Hamilton and the like, but then you're sort of jumping back and forth and seeing your roots. So it's kind of wild to see that it's like that path is prologue kind of an idea. Remind us when exactly it started. Like, what year did you guys all meet?
2002, 2003 is when Freestyle Supreme started. The first show was the blackout of 2003 in August. And then we started to formalize the show a little bit more over those next few months. And we did our first run at Ars Nova in 2004. So that was the first sustained 5-6 times a week for 7 or 8 weeks. But I met Anthony in 95. We had the idea for something around 99, 2000, but we sort of hadn't met the right people. So we didn't know how to make it anything. And then Anthony and Lynn started to really spark around the early days of development of In the Heights. And I met Chris in 2002, so we've been having an 18-year conversation, and I'm quite delighted by that.
And, Chris and Tommy, you can jump in on this too, but you know, do you sit there and watch the documentary and say, damn, I was so young back then?
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know, time affects us all, and it's undefeated, so I'm trying not to wallow too much in the fact that, you know, I'm 18 years older, and look it.
There's no proof.
Really,
I don't believe that at all.
it's a really rare thing to have. You know, Tommy mentioned, you know, the magic word, which is trust. And it's a very rare thing to have a relationship that spans a performing relationship that spans that such a great amount of time. In a lot of aspects, you know, this film is like a time capsule for us, because at each point you're tracking you know, from the very beginning all the way through, you know, births and marriages and the breakups and all of the, you know, just life. And Freestyle Supreme has been the through line and a very consistent presence throughout this whole journey. And the film really encapsulates all of those really profound moments and those moments that are that I can look back on and instead of just seeing stills, man, there's a lot of life being lived that we're watching, and a lot of creative growth and our growth as artists and our growth as just human beings, and the deepening of those relationships. It's a real, you know, it's a real gift, you know, from my perspective, to be able to look back on that and know exactly where I was when we played that show and what was going on in my life around that time. And it's a very rare thing to have that kind of insight.
For sure. And so what is it about the art of freestyle rap in general, but also mixed with, yeah, like an awareness of pop culture? Like, you have Lynn in there saying, who knew Hamilton and In the Heights was inspired by Darkwing Duck? You know, when there's trouble, you call DW.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, talk about how, you know, the seeds of contextualizing pop culture and doing it through freestyle rap is what you guys were doing even way back then.
My thought about that is that I think what Freestyle Love Supreme encourages is that anything in your life is valuable and valid and is deserving of story. And I think at the highest moments, the peak moments of our show, what's being communicated verbally and non-verbally to the audience is your story matters. And I think that's something, if you look at In the Heights and you look at Hamilton, that is a real consistent thread, is it's about taking all of the things that you are as a songwriter, as a performer, as a human being, and bringing them to the work. And I think that we tried to make shows, even if they had a script with Heights and Hamilton, that allowed who you were to come on stage with you. And I think that's something that you see shown in those early Freestyle Love Supreme moments. And the other, you know, sort of personal front row seats I had is watching the relationship between Chris and Lynn evolve. So when you see George Washington played on stage by Chris and Hamilton played by Lynn, you know, 13, 14 years later in Hamilton, that was forged in Edinburgh. That was forged in New York City and in Brooklyn and in London and in Montreal and in Australia and all the other places we did the show, leading them to Benny and Usnavi with Heights. So I think there's that rich history, which basically says, bring who you are.
I love it. And talk about how, you know, just the reaction
from
go ahead, Chris. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, you know, add to that. You know, as far as, like, pop culture is concerned, you know, you're either participating in it or you're a spectator, right? Or some sort of hybrid of the two. And there's you know, we come up in a generation where there was this explosion of this new art form. You know, and so that's what we were weaned on musically and artistically. But you know, from my perspective, until Lynn and Tommy came along, there was never going to be, I doubt that there would have ever been a moment where, you know, hip hop and R&B could live on a Broadway stage. Those are, you know, three of the sort of, you know, columns of my artistic self, you know. So in a lot of ways, as, you know, pop culture becomes the answer to all of these different moments where artists like me and so many others can now find an outlet for it. You know, freestyle being the happy sort of coming together of all of those different elements. The fact that they can live on a Broadway stage is just sort of, I think, the answer to the natural progression of the influence of what that art form is. I think hip hop is the last great art form, American art form. And so it's while it was still sort of coming around to all of the different cultural touchstones, it certainly was well cemented here in New York City. It kind of makes sense that this is where it all started for us.
Oh, it totally makes sense that that's where the seeds were planted. I mean, just how have you guys been to see, you know, the success of Hamilton on Disney Plus? I mean, you knew it would do, you know, gangbusters wherever it debuted, but I mean, I think Disney Plus's subscribership went up, like, I don't remember the exact number, like 70-some% or something, purely based on this thing. I mean, that's gotta make you guys thrilled, right?
What matters for me is this notion that I just forgot. That was Chris speaking.
What did he say? I couldn't hear him real quick.
It made me wish I had Disney stock before it dropped.
Yeah, exactly.
I missed that one.
The idea of making something available is one of the challenges that you face in theater, whether it's Priscilla Supreme or Hamilton. Hamilton obviously is something that for years we've tried to figure out how to expand the show as quickly as we could theatrically so that more people could see it. And when all of our shows were running, all six productions, there were, you know, about 9,000 or 10,000 people a night seeing it live. Now, that's a lot of people to see theater, but it's still not including everybody because theater is too expensive and it's hard to get to and it's logistically challenging. And all of a sudden for $6.99, you can have connection to this version of the show and you can watch it once. You can not make it all the way through, or you can watch it 10 times. And what it's also done is then it's expanded the conversation. It's democratized the conversation because so many people are seeing the same thing. They're seeing the exact same performance. And so I've just been so moved by how the show, as a piece of art, as a piece of fiction, has been able to have this intersection with a moment where we're all asking new questions. And our show has never claimed to have answers, only was existing to ask new questions. And I feel like that's the point of putting anything into the world, is trying to do it in a way that feels authentic to the author's intent and honor the performers that are making it, and have the audience think about something different on the way out than they did on the way in. And those questions are so valid and are so essential. And so I've been really moved and thrilled that the conversation is broadening and deepening the way that it is.
Oh yeah. And just to be able to, I mean, you directed the streaming version as well as on stage, but like, so your decisions to when exactly to punch him for close-ups, and, you know, you get to see King George's spittle, or regular people who'd never been to the theater are saying, what are those little things clipped on their heads? And you're like, those are the hair mics for costume changes. But it's like, you know, it's like mainstreamed theater going for people on their couches. They're understanding all how much hard work it is. And I mean, I guess there'd been things in the past, like, I don't know, I grew up watching the Mary Martin Peter Pan where they'd film the Broadway stage or whatever, but you know, it's amazing that we can do this with this Hamilton show. And, you know, speak to that a little bit about how, you know, people that are maybe just more of the couch potato variety are now suddenly brought into this world of, you know, King George spittle and hair mics.
Well, it's, you know, theater has been going on since the written word was put down on paper. And it is a hard profession to understand if you're not a part of it. All of the little things like hair mics and half hour calls, and, you know, doing the prospect of doing 8 shows a week, 52 weeks out of the year, is a very strange and foreign kind of, it certainly doesn't make sense to people who don't understand what it is, but it is a practice that is built on generosity. It is a practice that is built on, you know, being able to create moments for people in real time. When folks sit down in a theater, they're essentially making an agreement to experience something together. And unlike films, you know, when you go to see a theater show, that moment's never going to exist again the same way. And so everyone that is there to bear witness to it has a special claim to that moment. It's such a difficult thing to do, and it's such a difficult moving portrait that you're creating. It is There's a reason why Broadway is Broadway, but, you know, theater's special wherever you go see it, because it's theater. And it's an experience unlike anything else that you can hope to have. What this film does in such a beautiful way is that it really, I think, it shows the theater for what it's meant to be, which is a very difficult thing to do in film. And I can't think of any one person in the world better at it than Tommy, and the way that he's captured this, lovingly captured it for every single person that gets to experience it. And you're going to see so many things every single time you go back and watch it. You know, you'll see so many different things. You have people who are, you know, who are fortunate enough to live in New York and have access to the theater. I've had people that have seen the show 20 times. That's a tremendous amount of commitment, obviously. But to a person, they've never come back and said, yeah, it's getting a little tired or it's a little bit fresh. It's always, wow, I didn't know this moment happened. I never caught that moment. This is a new, you know, this is a new thing that I saw. And it's been there from the very first day. But again, that's just sort of, that's the magic of theater and the way that it continues to reinvent itself on a nightly basis.
Absolutely. Yeah, but before we run, and you guys have been really generous with your time, so I won't keep you forever. But before we go, I do want to touch on something Tommy said a few seconds ago, which is, you know, the timing of all this. You know, it arrives on streaming, you know, not only for the July weekend, which is symbolic on its own, but at this sea change in American society that I can't even really remember in my lifetime, not only because we're all stuck, maybe because we're all stuck at home with coronavirus and we have more time to contemplate some of this stuff, but definitely the murder of George Floyd as well. I mean, it seems like there's a giant cultural awakening where, you know, Confederate statues are coming down, you know, slave owners are being questioned, the football team name in Tommy and I's hometown has changed. I mean, it seems like there's this giant change happening. We're on the precipice of reimagining everything that we thought was truth. And here we are with you guys, this show, this phenomenon where people of color are playing the Founding Fathers. So talk about how it sort of speaks to the moment. And, you know, Christopher, you're playing George Washington, who owned slaves. So it's a complicated history. How do we navigate this? I mean, can we really tear down Mount Rushmore? Or is it the idea of Hamilton, you know, presenting it, warts and all, and you know, subversively doing it with context? I mean, how do we navigate this?
I think in a moment like this, everyone's going to have their own version of how things should be done. And I think if we had been more honest about the telling of our history since it began, I think that we have a more well-rounded understanding of what these men did well and what they didn't do well. Something, you know, something as extraordinary as our Constitution had never before been written. In the history of man, no one had ever sat down and bothered to write self-evident truth down in an effort to form a government. But I think for the most part, the whitewashing of the American, you know, myth and the American dream, you know, came at the expense of the people who helped build it, literally helped build it. So we can have arguments about whether or not statues should be torn down. We can have arguments about whether or not statues should have been erected in the first place. Quite honestly, the idea of statuary is more of a, in my opinion, is more of a bygone belief of how we should best remember, you know, our founders and people of importance. But beyond the politics of the moment, truth is the only thing that will out any of this for us. And if we can't look at any of these issues truthfully and truly, like, acknowledge, you know, the people who have met harm for the sake of the American dream was, we won't get anywhere. But I think that if we try to reduce the conversation to whether or not a statue or a monument should stand, I think we've missed the whole point. I think we've allowed the politicization of the entire conversation, and we've betrayed the ability to progress past it.
That is perfectly
before
said.
Before we get lost in whether or not we tear down a statue, we got to get it down to what really happened. Let's do that part first. You know, let's teach our kids the real history of it through the eyes of every, you know, as many perspectives as we can before we try to start determining what should stay up and what should come down.
That is absolutely perfectly said. So I think that's the perfect place to leave it. You know, unless you have any thoughts. I know last time we talked, you said you used to drive to school past all these monuments, you know, on the Washington Monument and the like. I mean, do you have anything you want to add, or you think that was perfectly said?
I think it was beautifully said. And when you grow up in Northern Virginia and these monuments exist, I wasn't taught to question them until too late in my life. And so many people see them as things that exist and don't ask about why they exist or should they exist. And the fact that we are asking these significant questions, which are long overdue, and that the conversation is growing, means we're moving in a direction where there can be more information given. And we have to start, as Chris said, thinking about what we're teaching ourselves, what we're teaching our children. And we have to start telling the truth.
I love it. Well, thank you for all you guys are doing on that front, you know, as well. And so, you know, just keep up the good work, recontextualizing, you know, and forcing and helping all of us to question everything that we once thought was, like you're saying, it's the American myth. They call it for a reason. When is it? Then the legend becomes fact. Print the legend, John Ford said. So, thanks so much. Again, everybody, it's Hamilton Disney Plus, and then also we are Freestyle Love Supreme on Hulu, and then I guess In the Heights in movie theaters whenever this damn virus is over. So, hey, thanks so much, you guys. You're great.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, sir.